Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli. I'm here with Frank Vandenhorst and Peter M. Fellows. And what do you do when everyone thinks you're a genius, but secretly you feel they're wrong and fear they'll find out? In this week's segment of You Ask Us, you asked us, why do I feel like a fraud? Peter, what will you be sharing with us today?
Well, thank you, Frank. I mean, it's good to be back here on the Road Ahead Cafe with you and Frank and our amazing audience. So what we're going to be talking about is called the imposter syndrome. It's also called perceived fraudulence. That would be scary. Now, I feel like you're expecting me to say something profound about imposter syndrome, and that puts a lot of pressure on me because I don't know if I can live up to your expectations and deliver what you need. And then you're going to discover that I really am just another bloviating idiot with an internet access and a microphone, if you haven't already. That, what I just did, that is imposter syndrome. Fortunately, I'm comfortable with my limitations. And if you are comfortable with my limitations too, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff, Peter. Frank, what are you going to share today?
Well, it's called the imposter syndrome, but actually it's not really a syndrome. It's a phenomenon. It's not a psychiatric thing or something like that that described abbreviation or something syndrome, what it's called. No, it's not. But I'll give you an example. I'm a lecturer at a college teaching communication and consultancy skills to law students. One of my students is a high performer. She does her homework, is attentive, asks interesting questions, and passes the tests with high grades. She is also a loving person. And my colleagues also see her as a high potential. Her ambition is to become a top lawyer, like her older sister and her uncle. I also am her, what we call here, career college coach. Every student has one, who is sparing partner for personal and study-related issues. In one of our meetings, she broke into tears. I asked her, what's happening? What's wrong with you? She told me that she felt incompetent and that she wasn't good enough to make it. To make what? She said she needed to succeed because she felt the pressure to do so. Hmm. I said, okay, your sister is a top lawyer and your uncle also. Yes, she said, because otherwise, and she started to snot more and so on. And she said, otherwise she would be seen like a failure to her friends and her family. And then she told me, she considered to quit the study. This is an example of an imposter phenomenon. People who struggle with imposter syndrome, or what we call phenomenon, feel that they aren't competent or intelligent as they might think others think about them. Yeah. And that soon enough, people will find out that it's not all true. In contrary, they often are quite successful in academic things or even in business, where they have wonderful jobs. But anyway, it's the way they look at it. An interesting remark, I discovered an interesting thing. I was looking in a book called The Commentaries on Living from Krishnamurti. And there he said the following: we are raised on comparison. Our education is based on it, and so is our culture. So we struggle to become someone other than who we are. For me, the quote of Krishnamurti is one of the root causes of this imposter phenomenon. Rick, back to you.
Thank you, Frank. Wow, it's going to be quite meaty. So the way I looked at this was, because I've struggled with this my whole career, especially as I've grown more as a coach, a speaker, an author, and a presenter, I started in sales. So what I'm going to go over today is some of the different aspects of my life where I've actually encountered this, you know, imposter syndrome and feeling like a fraud. because let's face it, every time you start something new, which is scary and exciting at the same time, you could feel like this. But I think it's a powerful tool for overcoming fear and worry. And I'll talk about that in my longer segment. All right, let's get in a bit deeper. Peter, what have you got for us?
Thank you for, well, everybody's telling you how great you are because you did a bang up job on closing a business deal, but secretly you believe it wasn't you, it was just a matter of luck. Or your boss says he's absolute faith in you and your ability to handle the new position he'd given you, but secretly you don't think you have enough experience. You get chosen to take on a new project because you did an outstanding job on the last project. But secretly, you know that was only because you put in grueling hours and there's just no way you could keep up that level of commitment to continue this. The first element of imposter phenomenon is that other people think you're better than you really are, or that you think you really are. The second element is that you're afraid to disappoint them. And the third element is that you're always afraid that sooner or later, people are going to find you out. And of course, that, your inner voice assures you, will lead to utter humiliation and the end of all life as we know it. So I get where this comes from. I'm never completely satisfied with anything I do. And yet people say, oh, you're a good writer or speaker or researcher. But it doesn't bother me because I'm comfortable with my own assessment of being mostly fairly good at what I do, fairly often, and of being a complete idiot at other occasions, and then finally once in a while doing something which is genius. But I'm also convinced that the same is true for everyone, even if they don't always see it. Remember the saying, you do the best you can, and sometimes you miss the mark. That's life in a nutshell. I do a lot of research and writing to prepare for this weekly podcast, and I'm never satisfied with what I have, but I choose to only work for so long on it. Is it as perfect as I want? No, but it's the best I can do given the time I have, and I'm okay with that. I don't need to pretend I'm anything more than I am, and neither do you. You are enough. No changes needed in who you are. But someone with imposter phenomenon feels compelled to sustain the false image others seem to have. So you work even harder and you hold yourself to even higher standards, and you do this to avoid detection or to try to become as good as others think you are, or to make up for your perceived lack of ability, or just to ease your feelings of guilt for not admitting that you are not as great as everyone thinks you are, or for being an imposter. But here's the catch 22. Nothing you accomplish, no matter how great, will stop you from feeling like a fraud, because your inner voice is going to judge those new accomplishments the same way it's been judging all your accomplishments. Your inner voice will tell you that any success you have, it's never really your ability that resulted in a good outcome. It's always some other external factor which just happened to make it possible. And whenever you fail, your inner voice says it's never because of some external factor. It's always because you weren't good enough. So your inner voice can make you feel like a fraud when you succeed and feel like a loser when you fail. You do good, your inner voice comes up with a reason why that doesn't really count. You make a mistake, your inner voice tells you that's just more proof of what a loser you are. Sometimes your inner voice sounds like your partner in the worst relationship of your life. You remember her or him?
I do.
How do you stop that feeling? How do you stop feeling so bad? Well, you can't get rid of your inner voice. It's always there. But feelings follow thoughts. So if you feel terrible with the thought that you're an imposter and that someone is bound to find out, how would you feel without that thought? In conventional mindfulness, when you notice the thought, you just switch your focus to something else, often your breathing or what's going on in the present moment. And abracadabra, the feeling follows the thought into the magical cabinet, and they both disappear off stage, which is really useful. Got a headache? Take a painkiller. But I want more for you, because after the mindfulness meditation, you're right back in the same situation. You still got that promotion you don't think you can handle. you're still heading up the new project that you also don't think you can handle. And while conventional mindfulness will stop the pain from your brain, your inner voice, I want something to help you transform the situation, challenge, or goal so that you find it fulfilling, not just painless. When you don't know what to do about a situation, a problem, or a goal, you do mindful pathfinding. That's what I created it for. You just ask yourself one question: where is my most fulfilling path here? And then you watch, just watch what comes up or what happens. And three things may happen. You may get guidance on what to do, an inside inspiration, an impulse to act. You may get the inner resources you need, the energy to get out of bed, the motivation to do what you have to do, the confidence to not care about the expectations of others. You may find, number three, that the situation changes even though you did nothing about it. That is the power of you at the deeper level of your non-conscious mind, the level I call your pathfinder. There's plenty of studies on how to do this. I wrote about them in my book, Stop. You are amazing. Sometimes your pathfinder will guide you to go to a therapist or a life coach or a friend or a bartender, and that might be exactly what you need. And sometimes you just can't summon the motivation or confidence or energy you need to take action, so your pathfinder will provide that. It's not that your pathfinder will give you the energy to work harder so you can keep up with the expectations of others. It's that your pathfinder will free you from wasting energy worrying about the expectations of others, and that organically improves your productivity. Your path needs to be custom tailored to you because of your unique personality, the unique conditions of your situation. And that's why you consult yourself, because who knows you better than you? Consulting your non-conscious mind, your deeper self, the part I call your pathfinder, unleashes what psychologists call your unconscious thought advantage. Want to know more about mindful pathfinding? Come to mindfulpathfinding.com. I promise I won't try to solve your problem, mainly because I don't know how, but I know someone who can help you. I know someone who knows how, your own deeper self, the pathfinder. Back to you, Rick.
Wow, good stuff. Feelings follow thoughts. Thank you, Peter. All right, Frank, Brother Frank, what do you want to share on this? This is good stuff right here.
Wonderful story, Peter. Why do people with imposter syndrome feel like frauds, even though there's abundant evidence of their success, like that student I just mentioned? Instead of acknowledging their capabilities as well as their efforts, they often attribute their accomplishment to external causes, such as luck, good timing, or effort that they cannot regularly expend. So in this case, also, she said, well, I had a lot of luck, you know, I was just lucky, you know. And so actually, it was difficult for her to do some self-reflection. Okay, what causes the imposter syndrome or the imposter phenomenon? Personality traits largely drive imposter phenomenon. Those who experience it struggle with, in general, low self-esteem and perfectionism. Competitive environments can also lay the groundwork. Just listen to the quote I just mentioned from Krishnamurti. For example, many people who go on to develop feelings of imposterism faced intense pressure about academic achievement from their parents in childhood and others. And in this case, it's also the case, the student I just mentioned. Okay, but what are the some solutions? Well, solutions. I wanted to share with you a few things I've done. So what to do with the situation as described by the student? I had several sessions with her, and although I wasn't her therapist, I share some of my insights. Number one, change your mind and change your feel set. Embrace yourself for who you are. Start to make nothing wrong. Like Peter said, you are okay. Love yourself unconditionally. So I asked her at home, go over and walk to the mirror. Look at yourself in the mirror and say aloud, I love you. At first she said, well, it was so difficult for me. I couldn't say it. I just whispered it. And then in an online session, we did it together. She did it so often until she started to smile and to laugh aloud. And then something happened to her. She started to smile and to lighten up a bit. That doesn't mean that she got rid of her imposter syndrome just in an instant, but it was a beginning.
Yes.
Second thing is acknowledge that everyone has talents. You too. You're born with it. It's a gift. So recognize your expertise and remember what you do well. So I started with her to make a list with all the things she did quite well. And I made her to write it down herself. I sat with her and said, okay, write down. Well, it was very difficult at the beginning. But at the end, we had a whole paper full of things she did quite well. And again, tears welled up, but also she started to smile. So for instance, mentoring other people, young students who have less or are less able or experienced than you are, is another thing you can start to do. And actually, she did that. Third, stop comparing yourself to others. I mean, this is a real cultural disease. The drive to be the best and the most successful always invite something else, failure. It must be the case because everything in life is a balancing act. It's yin and yang. In the end, there will be always someone who will run faster, jump higher, or make more money or whatever than you are. Don't worry. Maybe you are that person for someone else. And four, start to do things well enough. Also, what Peter said. The Kaizen way to change, the Sino-Japanese word for improvement, and Kai means change and Zen means good. Kaizen is a process of improvement by using very small steps to start to improve. Small steps can lead to big changes. I just gave you a few examples. And Kaizen will disarm the brain's fear response to make change go more and more naturally. I talked about it more about Kaizen in episode 20. Please listen to that or have a look at it. Okay, Rick, what about you?
Great stuff, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah.
It is. So, yeah. So here's what I have. So, you know, as I was looking at this subject, I was thinking about my own life and have felt like this a lot. So at first, I'm the son of Vince, a perfectionist, auto body shop. Guy was an artist, not only in his work, but actually was a painter and a sketch artist, got an art scholarship before he went and enlisted in the Merchant Marines in World War II. So I grow up in this body shop where everything had to be perfect. And every single thing that I did was judged. So of course, I didn't know how to do everything right at the time. So like you said, Frank, we're programmed at an early age. And so not only academically, but in the trade, I had to do everything right. And so there was constant repetition. And it was just the programming. So I always felt like I didn't know how to do it, certainly not as well as him, but even the other guys on the staff. So then I become a salesman after I get out of that business. So like you said, comparison. I'm in this bullpen. We have this bulletin board on the wall. Everybody's sales volume is there. So there's my name, Rick, and it says zero. And I'm looking up at that thing, and I'm a new salesman in my really bad suit that was, you know, matched Al Kirshner's couch. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm an imposter. I don't know how to do this. And then soon enough, I'll get to the bottom of it. I become a husband. And I don't know how to be a husband. What do I know about how to be a husband? I was just a boyfriend before that. Then I become a father. I got this baby. All they do is cry. I'm making him unhappy. I'm trying to help. I don't know what to do. And fraud, imposter. So if you think about it, then a business owner, even as a podcaster, right? If you listen to some of our early episodes, we're like, what do we know about this? Okay, maybe we've done it before or spoken before, but everything you do that's new is going to bring up this feeling. So should you never do anything new? You're going to be thrust into it anyway, even if you don't choose it. So my feeling on this is, as I mentioned, it's a powerful tool for overcoming fear and worry and actually becoming the best version of yourself. So if you look at the imposter syndrome and this feeling like a fraud as a gift and as that thing that says to you, I'm now doing something new, I'm expanding and I'm growing. Again, if you're young and you're inexperienced, it's going to be hard to rationalize that. But as you get to be up around the wise old ages of myself, Peter and Frank, we've done this so many times. We can hardly wait to the next moment to be an imposter. And maybe it'll be today. So it means you're going to take on something new, something that you don't feel comfortable at, you're not good at yet. You are doing that self-talk, but really what it is it's your inner critic just saying you're in the right place, accept it, don't be afraid of it. As a matter of fact, as you both were talking, Frank and Peter, I was thinking, many of us who believe in others as a regular practice can learn a lot from that. And maybe you can do this for yourself too. So if you're watching or listening to today, and you're listening to us today, and you're one of those good people who really believes in others all the time, and you have developed that skill, it's time to just turn that around and use it on yourself. I believe in you, and you're here today to get some more of this good wisdom. And hopefully, it will help you when you do feel like that again, quickly turn it around, use it as a tool. Peter, what are your final thoughts on this?
Well, the answer to imposter syndrome is simple. Just don't worry about what others think of you. Just be comfortable with who you are and what you can actually do. The challenge of imposter syndrome or phenomenon is, how the heck do I do that? And the thing is, you don't have to do it. You don't have to know those answers. You don't have to know everything and do everything. That's the job of your non-conscious self, your pathfinder. And you just have to turn to the pathfinder and say, what do I do? And you will get the answers you need. And sometimes that answer will be contact Frank, because he did some brilliant coaching in that example that he gave today. When you don't know what to do, do mindful pathfinding. In the meantime, keep coming back each week to spend a few minutes with Frank, Rick, and me, guaranteed to expand your mind and your heart. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff, Peter. Perfect closing. Frank, what do you think?
Okay, I have a question. Ask yourself this one. If I were guaranteed not to fail, what would I be doing differently? If I were guaranteed not to fail, what would I be doing differently? That might be a key to help you get over that imposter phenomenon. I asked the student also this question, and she had to think about it. I said, I have to sleep, Ellen. I don't know the answer yet. Well, the next time she came with an answer, and that was interesting. Appreciate yourself, compliment yourself. Say to yourself, well done, Frank, Julie, Ahmed, Chaz, Rick, Peter, whatever your name is. This will help you to relax more, and doing so, you start to allow more well-being to come into your life. If you want to know more, call either Peter or Rick or me on LinkedIn, look at our profiles, and connect with me if you want to at www.frankwise.nl. And remember, what you think about and think about, you bring about. Have a wonderful day.
Good stuff, Frank. Wow, thank you. So my final thoughts on this, embrace your inner critic. See it as your best friend, helping you feel comfortable in your efforts. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, click subscribe. If you love us, make a 30-second selfie right now. Tell us why. Don't be shy. And we look forward to getting together with you again next week. Savor your day today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.